Go Tebow! Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, in studio to talk about, well, some local Colorado people, Dan Kaplis and Tom Inouye down at Focus on the Family, regarding Herman Cain and some of his comments running for the presidential nomination, is Leslie Hanks. Leslie, welcome back to the studio.
Hi, Bob.
Great to have you here. Did you see the game yesterday?
I did. That was just thrilling. It's really too fun.
The Broncos are fun, right? With Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow, he's, of course, he was homeschooled, Christian family, strong Christian faith.
Yes.
His mother endorsed Colorado's Personhood Amendment.
6-2.
That's right. She did. And they are just such extraordinary role models. And Tim Tebow's jersey is the number one best-selling NFL jersey all over the country.
Before yesterday's game.
Before yesterday's game.
I'm assuming it might get a boost.
Yeah. And admittedly, in the first 55 minutes, things weren't going so well. The Broncos were losing.
15-0 till the very last few minutes of the game.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it might have been a record. Now, I don't know if it's an all-time NFL record, but since the merger back to 1970, probably all-time, the most dramatic comeback in the history of professional football. With 3 minutes to go, they were down 15-0, and the Broncos and Tim Tebow pull out a victory.
It really couldn't have been done, but it was done.
It was done. So imagine that if it does turn out to be an all-time NFL record by a rookie quarterback who's got, what, 4 games under his belt?
Yeah.
So just tremendous. And I'm rooting for him ever since I became a pastor, and I was asked to pastor Denver Bible Church as it was planted by a Bible church across town. I pretty much haven't seen any Broncos games.
Well, I bet. Yeah, your Sundays are really busy.
Yeah, they really are. We used to go to games, you know, occasionally, but I've hardly seen a game in over a decade. And so now I'm wanting to become a regular fan again.
Well, you know, if any of my family is listening to this show, they would just be rolling, laughing that their mother would have the thought of commenting on a sports and a football game. I am really not a sports analyst by any means, but that game was thrilling. And just knowing how their family blessed Amendment 62, I can't help but watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's probably why football ultimately is about money.
Right.
And Tim Tebow could end up being one of the most valuable assets of any franchise in history, with being such a phenomenon and a marketing phenomenon this early on in his career, and Heisman Trophy winner and so on. So, wow. And praise God, we homeschool our boys, and it's so neat to have role models for them to look up to. So many professional sports players are in trouble with the law,
right,
and domestic violence, and even, you know, even drive-by shootings and going to jail. And what a relief, what a breath of fresh air to have someone who honors God and has such an outstanding testimony and is so great at what he does.
Absolutely. And praise God that his mother, Pam, rejected the advice of her doctor. Some of your listeners might not realize that if they hadn't, mm-hmm, you know, seen the Focus on the Family ad during the last Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. And to do that, all they have to do is go to ColoradoRightToLife.org and click on the Amendment 62 archive. And that's just scroll down. And that's one of the resources that's memorialized there during the campaign. And what a great Super Bowl ad that was.
It was
funny.
But just the fact that she resisted the pressure, you know, her doctors were telling her that she had such a troubled pregnancy, she shouldn't carry him to term, and she rejected that bad advice. And, you know, what women over the century or the decades here have really gotten bad advice, I'm sure, more than we imagine. So,
Leslie, it's very exciting to me when we see people taking stronger and stronger stands on behalf of the unborn child, and principled stands where they say that it's wrong to agree to the killing of even a single child.
Right.
That's exciting to me because, boy, things had been going the other way for 30 years, where Christians and pro-life leaders and Billy Graham and on Pat Robertson, so many have made excuses for killing, you know, thousands and even millions of innocent children with their compromised views. So when people say, no, we can't support that, that's exciting to me.
Just last week, some of the listenership probably saw the CNN debate. No, it wasn't the CNN debate. It was the Piers Morgan
interview
with Herman Cain.
That's right, a Republican who wants the presidential nomination. And he's been saying for a long time now that he's pro-life and 100% pro-life.
Right. He says some great things. He's talked about how he knows Planned Parenthood is perpetrating black genocide on his people. And, of course, they've reacted pretty strongly to his comments. But, we have a dear friend, Bernard Childress, who's had a website, blackgenocide.org, for, about 7-8 years. We've been in touch with him, and it's well documented that that is the mission of Planned Parenthood.
And the documentary that Colorado Right to Life aired on Denver television.
Right, Ma'afa 21.
Ma'afa 21. There have been two showings at a black church downtown in Denver.
Korean Bible.
And it's shown all over the country and a huge black conference in Indianapolis. I mean, a couple hundred thousand people. And they had a film festival and Ma'afa 21 was shown. And so that documentary is getting out far and wide, and it's documenting this. So Herman Cain, when he said that and other things, well, praise God for when he does things that are right and says things that are right. But then he said things regarding rape and incest and other things that were shocking. And they were not accurate. They weren't valid. And it was a terrible setback from the things he had been saying. And so now, of course, he's new on the political scene relatively, and we need to find out if he's going to, that's sort of a flip-flop, so if he's going to flop back into the support for the child's right to life unequivocally. But what I'm really interested in is what Dan Kaplis said on our competing station, KHOW, and even what Focus on the Family has written about this now in two articles about Herman Cain. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
How about we start with Dan Kaplis?
Yeah, just the day after that interview aired, Dan and Craig were discussing how would that have been a fatal flaw, or shot himself in the foot fatally.
Dan Kaplis and Craig
Silverman.
Craig is the more liberal, and he's hardcore pro-abortion, whereas Dan Kaplis is pro-life, and it seems to me to be increasingly strong in his pro-life view.
Yeah.
At least he's said wonderful things recently, such as if it turns out that Mitt Romney really has flip-flopped or has been funding abortion, then I wouldn't support him. I'm not going to vote for him. That's great when he says something like that. Now, it's not great that he doesn't know by now.
Right.
You have to have lived in a cave since 2007 to not know that Romney is an aggressive child killer.
Maybe we need to get him on Greg Jackson's email blast list.
Yeah, that's right. Best-selling conservative author. But Dan Kaplis then said something about these Herman Cain statements. What was that on the air?
On the air, he did say that following day that he himself has no plans to vote for anybody that will compromise on the life issue because that's the most important thing to him.
And so if a candidate, let's say a candidate is willing to kill any number of children or certain exceptions, could you tell us how Dan was presenting this?
I think he was saying any exception. He just feels like, the babies have a God-given inalienable right to life that can't be infringed. And he was very disappointed. He said as much as he likes Herman Cain and he'd like to be able to vote for him, if Cain's remarks in that interview, proved to be what it sounded like.
His actual policy, right. What it sounded like, very much so, which is a contradiction of what he had been saying
previously,
preparing for maybe a possible entry into politics.
Right.
If it turns out to be that's really where he's at and he's not going to try to defend every child, then Dan Kaplis is saying, I wouldn't support him.
Right.
I wouldn't vote for him.
So that's great. I really love Dan saying that there are no exceptions and there's never a reason to vote for somebody that is willing to allow one innocent child to die.
Now, we've seen Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, not only say that, but make a pledge invoking God in his pledge that he would never again vote for a politician who would kill a single innocent child. And he broke that pledge, which is a great tragedy.
Tragic.
Yeah, a great tragedy. And so hopefully Dan Kaplis and others would not break that commitment, because it'd be as though we were in Germany and there was some politician, we really liked his foreign policy and all, but he did advocate killing some Jewish children, but just some, not
right.
out of control.
just a few.
Just some Jewish children. Maybe some of the boys, because if you kill some of the boys, you'll have fewer eventually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that person would be disqualified from deserving or earning your support or your vote because they are advocating the murder of innocent children.
Right.
And so Dan Kaplis is saying, and that's the principle, that therefore I would not support a politician like Herman Cain if it turns out that he thinks you can kill some children in America and that the government should stand by. That's tremendous.
Right.
So Focus on the Family now weighs in on the same issue. And this is Tom Minery, who we've gone around the block with
a few times. Yeah.
And Tom Minery is, you know, infamous for saying that we are so similar to Mitt Romney.
Mm.
And he said that in a political video
Ouch.
Designed to get Christians to support Mitt Romney. And that's just shocking because Romney gave the nation homosexual marriage that he ordered independently by his own authority for county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses in Massachusetts. And that's far beyond anything Obama or Hillary or Bill ever did. And what else does Mitt Romney do that should be causing him to be disqualified from Tom Minery and Focus on the Family's perspective? What else has he done other than implementing homosexual marriage?
The $50 copay abortions?
Yeah.
Perhaps?
Yeah. He instituted...
It's part of Romney Care.
Yeah. Tax-funded surgical abortion on demand, late term, early, anything. That's way more than Obama or Hillary ever dreamed of doing. Mitt Romney did it, and still, Tom Minery, in these articles here, you could tell he wants Christians to support Mitt Romney.
He does. That final paragraph. Well, should
we
read the offending thing that Herman Cain actually said that's caused so much consternation?
Yeah, let's do that. Could you do that? We'll see how your microphone holds up.
All right.
And so, from CNN, and I know that a lot of Republicans are saying, you can't trust Piers Morgan. Well, this has nothing to do with trusting Piers Morgan. These are extended quotes
right.
from Herman Cain. So unless Herman Cain was a puppet of Piers Morgan, then I'd say what he's saying at length is relevant to be considered.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
So he said, this is, I'm trying to think exactly how the question was asked, but he said, well, Morgan asking specifically about rape and incest
right.
abortions.
You're getting the transcript from Focus on the Family.
Right, from Citizen
from
Link.
Website.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And it says, this is Cain's reply. When it comes down to what it comes down to is it's not the government's role or anybody else's role to make that decision. Secondly, if you look at the statistical incidents, you're not talking about that big of a number of abortions due to rape. So what I'm saying is it ultimately gets down to a choice that that family or that mother has to make, not me as president, not some politician, not a bureaucrat. It gets down to that family, and whatever they decide, they decide. I shouldn't try to tell them what decision to make for such a sensitive decision.
Oh, brother. And then it went on, and he said, Herman Cain said, I can have an opinion on an issue without it being a directive on the nation. The government shouldn't be trying to tell people everything to do, especially when it comes to a social decision that they need to make. So this is extended, and it could very well be that in his heart of hearts, he thinks abortion is wrong, and he has been confused by, let's say, George W. Bush, National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, because for decades, they've sounded an uncertain call on the trumpet.
Exactly.
The Bible says when there's not a certain sound, people won't know how to fight the battle. And so you need a clear clarion call. And so when Focus on the Family says Mitt Romney is pro-life, Mitt Romney is pro-family, and he supports homosexual marriage and tax-funded surgical abortion on demand, then somebody like Herman Cain, who's a businessman, he gets confused. And National Right to Life, when they give somebody 100% pro-life rating, and it's really a pro-abort,
mm-hmm.
it's a pro-abort in sheep's clothing, then people get confused. And so Herman Cain, to give him the ultimate benefit of the doubt, he was a fool.
We're being generous, Bob.
Yeah. He was a fool, and he's afraid to say what he believes in his heart of hearts, but he's going to have to now come clean and say, I support a human life amendment. I believe that no child should be killed in America with the consent or tolerance of the government. I support Mississippi's personhood amendment. He needs to do
all
that.
That would be awesome. That
right.
would be so great.
That's what he needs to do. And then he would be shown to be a flip-flop and flipper. But when they end up flopping in the right direction, then that's what humility and repentance is
right.
all about.
Right.
So now when CitizenLink lays out the case in two articles against Herman Cain gently, it makes me wonder, because when they are basically, they end their article, there's two articles, they end their more significant one with basically a defense of Mitt Romney, that Mitt Romney now says he believes in the sanctity of life from the very beginning until the very end. And to end the article, you know, you put your punch at the,
yeah,
at the end.
Right.
And so, and they list all these other pro-life Republicans or supposed pro-life Republicans. And then they end with Mitt Romney not giving at all his record, just his rhetoric.
Yeah.
When we know that he's been lying. So it makes me wonder that maybe Tom Minnery has an ulterior motive when he is pointing out that Herman Cain is not being strong as a pro-lifer. When Mitt Romney had a Freudian slip, when Tom Minnery has spent decades taking pro-choice Republicans and selling them as pro-lifers to the flock, to the Christian community. So, but I still think it's worthwhile to go through their articles.
Yes.
You want to do this?
Well, and you know, one thing I was going to say that I didn't get out before I ended that reading the actual quote is I really, the thing that makes me the saddest is him calling that decision, if, you know, if somebody has a rape or incest pregnancy that they're struggling with, a social decision versus it's like he's dismissed the inalienable God-given right to life and turned it into something so trivial.
I mean, if we look at Herman Cain's quote, and if it turns out that that's what he believes, it is atrocious. It's supporting a crime against humanity. It is mass murder. And when he says, okay, let's look at his quote. He says, when it comes down to, what it comes down to is it's not the government's role. Okay, now anything that comes out of your mouth after you say the government shouldn't get involved, everything else is irrelevant, because you're saying, hey, if they want to kill Jews, it's not the government's job to stop it. If they want to own blacks and sell blacks, it's not the government's job to stop it. So that is ignorance of the most paramount level.
He needs to read the Founding Fathers. Thomas Jefferson said, the care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only legitimate object of good government.
Yeah, right. Thou shalt not murder. The ultimate legal precedent. Thou shalt not murder. And Cain murdered Abel, and that was a crime. And so, right. So when he says it's not up to the government, that's horrendous. But then, how could you get worse? But he gets worse. He says, secondly, if you look at the statistical incidents, because they're talking about rape and incest, you're not talking about that big a number
right.
of abortions due to rape. Now, I ran the numbers.
I know you did. That's
I've got
going to shock people.
Exceptionscalculator.com, a website. It's very valuable. I put in Herman Cain. for the name of the candidate, and I put officer title, president, jurisdiction, the United States, beginning of term 2013 to end of term 2016, and then you could click checkmark the policies of the candidate.
Right.
And so if it turns out that that was as far as he went in compromising on an unborn child's life, rape and incest, the number of children Herman Cain would support killing during his term would be 20,466 children.
And you know what I think the biggest problem is, Bob, is that people forget it's real kids that are being dismembered and thrown in the trash. They just hear those numbers and it's an abstraction. And it's all done, you know, behind the fence at Planned Parenthood and the other various abortuaries in the country and out of sight, out of mind. People don't think about the fact it's real kids.
Right. And, you know, Ron Paul, in fact, has gone beyond that. He has said it's up to the states to decide. This is in Focus on the Family's article. So he says the states should decide. And he says, well, let's say you're talking about Plan B. Morning after pill, he says that kind of emergency contraceptive, it's not a contraceptive, it's an abortifacient. He said that really that should be allowed so the individual could make those moral choices. He calls abortion murder. Then he says we should let the individual decide. And then he says we should let the state decide. So if you click on the abortions calculator, let's say chemical abortions, Plan B. That's 153,000 with a very conservative estimate, extremely absurdly conservative. And then if you click states' rights, let the people decide, the number of children that Ron Paul could be killed in America with his consent and approval by his policy, that I would let women decide if they want to kill the baby with a chemical. And I would let the states decide if they want to kill, it would be 1,640,000 children. 1.6 million children would be killed in 4 years by Ron Paul's policies. And that's where he says, let the states decide. So the exceptions calculator, they let you put in whatever percent you want, but the default is 55%. So 55% of a state polls pro-abortion, pro-choice, then they say, okay, well, we will calculate the number of abortions that occur in those states and that they'll continue under Ron Paul's policy.
And yet all the Ron Paul supporters think he's like the most pro-life politician ever known to man.
They do, right, when he's contradicted his positions over and over. And it's because when they want to win an election, then they're driven to compromise on God's principles. Not as much on their own principles, but on God's. So, yeah, when he says it's a small number, you know, it's not a big number, that's atrocious.
Even one is a big number.
Even one is a big number when you're talking about killing a child.
Right.
And how many pieces of fruit did Eve bite into? What, did she eat the whole tree? No, it's disobeying God. And so you kill one child. You intentionally kill one child, that makes you a murderer.
Right.
And so Herman Cain, by saying, look, the kids killed by rape and incest, it's not a big number. Well, Herman, it would be 20,000 children whose blood would be on your hands when you stand before God. How big of a number is it then when you're standing before Jesus Christ? How big is that number?
You know, the other thing that really distressed me or made me sad is when he says, I can have an opinion on an issue without it being a directive on the nation. It's like he's completely forgotten the idea of the president of the United States having the bully pulpit and having the ability to lead the nation to care about these kids.
Right.
And to do the right thing and to reject the tyranny that our country's been living under, allowing all these murders to go on.
Yeah. So, all right.
He's not being very Lincoln-esque, I might say.
Yes. So, Tom Minnery, Focus on the Family, he ends his blog about this by saying, it will be important to all who believe human life is sacred for Herman Cain to quickly clarify his statement so we know the extent of his pro-life views.
Correct.
So, now, Mitt Romney has clarified his views by actions 100 times over, and somehow Focus on the Family doesn't have it in their budget to read pro-life profiles and to find out how aggressively pro-abortion he has been since his phony conversion in 2007. So I don't know why it would matter, really. But I'm glad that they're pointing out, hey, there's a problem. He said something about killing certain babies, and that's a problem. I'm glad Tom Minnery is saying that.
Yes, and I guess Herman Cain did tweet the next day that he's 100% pro-life, no exceptions, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
But
well, here's exactly what he tweeted. I'm 100% pro-life, end of story.
Okay.
No, we've been lied to before, Herman, hundreds of times. It's not the end of the story, and guess what? You don't get to write the end of the story. The end of the story is written by God. And in this case, it's written by pro-lifers who require you to make it clear that you would fight to stop the killing of every child. And it's not a social decision for a family. It's a governmental matter.
You know, our dear friend Alan Keyes, who just spoke at our Colorado Right to Life banquet, has a
so
fabulous
great.
Article on WorldNet Daily this week. Herman Cain versus the Declaration, and in the end paragraph, he talks about how we keep hearing about how winning is crucial, but as he ends it, one more such victory if we pick a phony, and we're going to be undone.
Yeah, winning, right. Winning is crucial when it's winning in God's eyes, not winning when you have to disobey God for a nebulous political victory that further destroys the country, and we've seen it happen.
Yep.
We have seen it happen through the Reagan-Bush years. The morality of the country has just disintegrated. And it was Reagan-Bush administration that first invited homosexuals to the White House. And the morality of the country under the lack of leadership is just destroying families in epidemic numbers.
Yes, that's so sadly true.
Yeah, so their mass murderer is always preferred to my mass murderer. We don't want our mass murderer in office.
That's right. And as you
that's worse.
Always like to remind your listeners, Republicans love to be lied to in the primary season.
They love to be lied to. All right. Hey, join us at Denver Bible Church next month. We're going to have a series on prayer, an effective prayer life for a Christian. And what kind of prayers does God enjoy hearing? What kind of prayers would he rather not hear? Denver Bible Church, may God bless you.